We kick off hour number three of the program. This segment is brought to you by Gold's Gym, the official gym of Three and Out. Find the location nearest you at goldsgym.com. And as always, you can work out absolutely free with the 3-day free VIP pass at goldsgym.com and try it out before you join. And even if you swing by, you know, after work or something, just to get a tour of the location nearest you, they'll be happy to show you around, even if you can't work out right then. GoldsGym.com is where you can find the location nearest you. It's the official gym of Three and Out. It's Gold's Gym. Talking a little recruiting. So you're out of five. Like the camp stuff is a huge deal for Jeremy Pruitt, and they're going to have a bunch of camps coming up in June. So.
Yeah, June for Tennessee typically is always a really strong month on the recruiting trail. I'm hoping that this June follows that trend.
Apparently, Arch Manning... Yeah, who's Cooper Manning's son, obviously Peyton and Eli's nephew. I think he's only 13 at the moment. So
got some time.
Yeah. Got 24/7 Sports had a video of him at the in his varsity football spring game.
He can sling it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was last summer I saw a video of him training. I guess he'd have been 12. And it was look like a Manning. So he's what, class of 20? Oh, this God. Is 2023. Be here before you know it.
Yeah, it really will, I suppose.
He's wearing 16 in this video.
As he should, I guess.
That's
too far in advance. I don't want to talk about him.
You can't get jacked.
No,
jazzed
too far,
up.
Too far down the road. Oh, and he's going to Ole Miss, too, so who cares?
Why?
They all go to Ole Miss unless they're on probation.
Just got lucky, right?
Yeah, we got very lucky. We got the best one.
Then we got unlucky.
I don't know, though, man. If they keep old Matt Luke around, they might not. Might not get him. Although he did pretty good last year with... who is my guy? Yeah.
Tamu,
thank you.
Jordan Tamu.
Jordan Tamu.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't talk about a Manning. Not right now.
Can't do it?
No, too far in advance. Need some time.
No, to kind of wrap up this recruiting talk, I think Jeremy Pruitt's approach is the right one. I mean, obviously, you just got to have success. And you're just going to have to close some of these guys down and keep them locked in.
Yes, that's typically how recruiting works.
But the term commitment now just means for now. Like, it's just committed for now. If signing day was today.
I'm with you, man. Maybe we should change it.
What?
You're just the leader.
I'd change my... I come around to committed for now, and you're like, no, let's change it.
It just doesn't make sense. At least not for us. I mean, guys decommit too often. They don't decommit from Clemson. So, I guess they can be committed to Clemson, but Tennessee, you're just the leader.
And guys commit and don't even put you in the top six.
Yeah.
No update there.
I think that was a mistake. Someone stole his phone or something. I think Jordan Davis is, I mean, I think that was an accident. He's still committed on all the sites. That I don't know what happened there. Maybe someone stole his phone. But maybe I'm a six. Maybe I'm a 6.5. I'm just saying I'm a little nervous. 10th in the SEC, we need a big June.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how contingent this recruiting class is on on-field success for this year. And I don't know how much success is realistic and or expected or possible.
And I mean, two out of your – okay, if you throw the long snapper out, you got five guys, and two of those are JUCOs. So you have three true, like, straight freshman recruits.
Three. Seems like a low number.
Yeah.
Because it is.
Very low.
It's just – have we not been further ahead in recent years at this stage?
Yeah, I don't feel like Pruitt's been a huge closer.
No, it feels like we get a couple here and there late. You know, you got J.J. Peterson and you got Toa Toa last year. Really, Toa Toa was the only addition, and that really changed the way signing day felt. But
yeah, on what early May you got Wanya Morris last year. May 1st, maybe.
Yeah, it was pretty early. Yeah. And then, obviously, they got Darnell Wright late, but that one felt like a lock the whole time, and obviously, it ultimately was. So that didn't feel like a surprise or a big close, big finish, because Darnell Wright was kind of projected to Tennessee for months. Maybe they're all just waiting for some on-field success, waiting to see how the coaches kind of gel with this team and see whether or not they can get it done. There was a defensive back in town over the weekend who said Tennessee's staff is on another level. I guess that's a good thing. We've seen some people compliment the new staff. Kashawn Lawrence was in town over the weekend and really, really liked, you know, I guess what he saw from Tennessee. Again, said everything was kind of on a different level. They're doing pretty well at defensive back. They have, at least, right? I mean, you hit on Alante Taylor, even though he kind of came in as a receiver slash defensive back. You weren't sure. Bryce Thompson, another guy, athlete, weren't sure where he was going to end up. You ended up getting two really good freshman corners there. You've recruited, in my opinion, very well at both corner and safety the last couple of years. I don't know that I would say secondary is a need, and yet here they are going out and getting Art Green. They're in the mix now for another four-star corner. You've got some depth at linebacker. Defensive line is starting to become a worry, and then just elite skill on offense. Now, granted, you kind of had a full table talking receivers and running backs as far as bodies, but I do think it's imperative that you go and get some real difference makers. We'll see kind of what Ramel Keaton does. He was a little bit banged up this spring. I think he has a lot of potential, but I'm wondering, like, and I don't know, maybe with Jim Chaney you don't need it, but boy, his offenses sure were pretty good when you were throwing to guys like Derrick Rogers, Cordarrelle Patterson, and Justin Hunter. I mean, those are three game-changing college receivers that never got to play, obviously, all three together once Derrick got kicked off, but individually, sensational talent. I don't know that you have any guys like those three. You've got a solid group of receivers. You've got a solid group of running backs. I don't know where the game-breaking talent is offensively. Now, you've got Harrison Bailey coming in at quarterback this year for this class. I think that's a really good start. We got to get him some weapons now. Offensive line, I think they've done a really good job. It's weird because it's kind of been staggered, so you don't have one class of just elite offensive linemen, but this past year you got two elite tackles that will probably start for you for 3 years if they stay healthy. And then you've done a pretty good job, I think, of identifying guys who can come in and play guard. We'll see what the Trey Smith situation is and where that ultimately shifts either Wanye or Wright or Trey. Maybe he plays the inside. Maybe they move him outside and Morris or Wright can switch to one of the guard spots. I'm not sure. I think you feel pretty good about the future of the offensive line, assuming there's development there. Just need some ballers, right? Like, you just need guys who can run and catch. And I think you feel pretty good offensively, because I think quarterback-wise, you feel pretty set with Bailey. He should come into a pretty good offensive line situation based on everybody Tennessee is going to bring back next year. The question is, can you get that elite skill to make it a little bit easier on Bailey? And then possibly, obviously, Garantano would be a senior, assuming he comes back and doesn't grad transfer, because he did just graduate. So I guess that's on the table, that he becomes a grad transfer if, you know, Harrison Bailey or Shroud or Maurer beat him out. I'm not sure. Elite skill. Need elite skill and defensive linemen. That should be our goal. Go to the high skews. Beat the pavement. Play paintball. Whatever it takes. Golf. Something.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be a very important time period coming up right now. I mean, the Nashville opening regional, you know, combine type of things going on in Murfreesboro at the moment, or from yesterday and over the weekend, and obviously a lot will come out of that. And then you got the camps, as you were mentioning. I mean, it's crunch time kind of now, right? And then you see the results of that come December. But I'm with you. I mean, there needs to be a lot of good news needs to start kind of coming out with momentum with some of these guys if you're going to close strong.
Here's a little bit of good news. Brian just sent me this. Chattanooga, Tennessee Sports updated the 2019 college football recruiting class rankings, including transfers. And Tennessee, according to their math, had the 8th ranked class in the country last year, as of now, including transfers. Miami actually had the best, apparently, with all the transfers and late signees. Miami, Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Big Chad Morris doing work in Fayetteville, and Tennessee at 8, ahead of A&M, LSU, Oregon, and Florida now at 12 with their defections. Florida has dropped 3 spots. Tennessee recently has climbed 4 spots. So if you want to feel good about recruiting, you can retroactively change the rankings.
All right. Sounds like a plan.
Optimism Monday?
Now we just need the rankings to start kind of moving in our favor for this year.
That'd be great.
It'll over the next month or so, we, you know, even if guys aren't committing or are committing for now, you need to start hearing some good positive vibes from the recruiting trail. When we come back, we'll turn our attention to the biggest event of the weekend.
Chernobyl.
That's tonight. The weekend.
I caught up on Chernobyl. That was my big event.
Well, thank God it's on tonight because I need something to help me move on. Because Game of Thrones was
kaput.
Something. We'll come back. We'll discuss. We'd love to hear from you. You can tweet us at Fox Sports Knox as we talk Game of Thrones Monday edition of 3 and Out. Welcome back into the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. It is 3 and Out as we discuss the final episode of the season and the series. The Game of Thrones series finale last night. If you haven't watched yet, probably want to turn our program off. Hate to say that, but spoiler alert, they're coming. Game of Thrones Season 8, Episode 6. Another long feature film type of length episode. It was called The Iron Throne. I want to get your guys' kind of general thoughts in a second, then we'll dive into some of the specifics. Here is my general takeaway. I thought the episode actually started strong. I liked the golden hand sticking out from the rubble. I know that's unrealistic a little bit, like from a, but I think some of the fans that get perturbed now by some of the unrealistic aspects of the show, it's like, wait a minute, those are some of the things we liked beforehand. You can't have this double standard that now everything should like obey the laws of physics in Westeros. I thought the fact that Jaime's gold hand was there and that Tyrion finds his dead brother and sister, and we know they're dead, like, no questions. I thought that was a good way to open. I thought Daenerys's speech to the Dothraki and the Unsullied was amazing. I thought the way we'd heard her tell the Dothraki on 2 different occasions as she became their queen, how they were going to ride the wooden horses across the water. They were going to burn down the stone houses and kill the men in their iron suits. And all that actually happened. And it was, all of that was awesome. I even liked the scene where she's walking. A lot of people said that scene, that prophecy of her walking up to the throne was actually ash instead of snow. Well, it turned out it actually was snow because we had snow in King's Landing all of a sudden once. Which,
and then the next day, it was warm again and sunny.
I think that was supposed to be weeks later, but okay. It still makes no sense. Because
no, it doesn't.
When winter comes, it's supposed to last at least for a while. So that was weird. But let me stay on the positives. Like, up until Jon Snow walks into the throne room, I thought this episode was going really well. It's like the cinematography, it was just like this with the Night King episode. The cinematography.
The cinematography this season has stolen the show.
It's just like they have no one to write it. The writing has been maybe the worst writing ever for a popular show that I've ever seen. Because from the point when Jon walks in, I mean, the first couple lines Danny has are pretty good, and then it just, the show completely goes off the rails at that point. I mean, I even thought as Jon walked in, why aren't there Unsullied protecting Danny? Like, you know, you're in King's Landing.
Well, the dragon was protecting her.
Right.
But he's a Targaryen, so the dragon was like, oh yeah, you're good.
And obviously, she wasn't scared at all.
No.
But to me, that was, that kind of started a chain reaction of just completely ludicrous events and then really bizarre decision making from whoever decided that the show would end this way. What'd you think? What was your general kind of rating? Like it, hate it, just thoughts.
Democracy. That's it. That's the big thing at the end of this rainbow.
Limited democracy.
Democracy.
Only the decision makers.
That's what we've been building towards.
Democracy.
For this long. Democracy. That was the big reveal. Shouts out to Russell, who called it weeks ago when he posted a picture of Sam Tyler saying, "How about we let the people vote? And they name the ruler." Did it as a joke, and that's what they went with. Democracy. That's the big reveal. That's the cornerstone of 10 years is, what if the people pick their rulers? That was it. All this battle for the throne only to say, we don't really need it. A city lies in ashes, and the decision is made to just, we'll put Bran on the throne, and then it really won't matter because we'll let everyone else pick who governs them. I did not like that. I did not like that. This whole season has felt this. It has felt hokey. It has felt simple. Under thought out. Democracy. Like, is this how George R. R. Martin's book's gonna end? Is this was it, George? Democracy. The episode was fine. I didn't like the end theme, but I thought the episode was fine. It about halfway through though, I started to get kind of bubbed out because I knew exactly what was gonna happen. When they're sitting in that circle, I was like, it's gonna be Bran. Who was it? Bran. Sansa gets to be her little queen of the north. Bran with the continuing, you were right where you needed to be. Oh, this is how it was supposed to happen. Man, like, a lot of people died and you could have done something about it.
Yeah, yeah. That made no sense.
That's what I'm saying. It didn't make sense.
They punished Dany for doing that, but no one else takes any responsibility for any actions that have happened or not happened.
That's what made it so weird.
And John killing Dany for,
I mean, it had to be
the greater
him.
Good makes absolutely no sense, because the most likely scenario when he kills Dany, and then especially once the dragon takes her away, is that he has to walk out and say, "I killed Dany." The most likely scenario in that situation is it's going to create more war. Like, it makes no sense.
But it just didn't.
Because it didn't.
It just didn't. Well, that's what was weird too, is, I mean, at that point, John has the rightful heir, or the rightful claim to the throne. Like, he is the heir at that point. And then they arrest him. Isn't he technically immediately king? Like, they don't vote. He just killed the queen. He's the rightful heir to the throne. How is he not just immediately the king? And then they send him back to the Night's Watch? Why is there even a Night's Watch? What are they waiting for? They killed the Night King. He dead. Remember, Arya stabbed him with a knife trick.
Yeah.
It just seems like all of the significant deaths were just so, like, eh. I mean, you knew as soon as John walked in he was going to kill her, right?
Yeah, that's why I was like, as soon as he walked in, I was like, should have had some Unsullied with you. You should have killed Jon Snow immediately. Like, that's...
She loved him. I mean, I guess maybe the dragon part's getting overlooked, like... The dragon was out front to protect her,
right?
Sleeping in the snow,
it's
which
still
I thought
an animal,
was pretty
though.
Cool. No, I know, but like, I guess that was the whole point. Like, no one else could have gotten in there,
right?
Other than Jon Snow, so I guess that's the significance. Like, it had to be him.
There could have been so many other. Yeah.
No, well, I agree with you. I'm just saying. I'm trying to at least, justify what they did by having the dragon protect the door. It had to be Jon Snow, but it is weird that there was nobody else, and then. Why did the dragon melt the throne? Like, was that just like
that was maybe I don't know what
like it looked cool, but I'm like
that was a top five weirdest yeah, aspects
like,
of the episode.
The dragon
sure.
knows that this is the root of all evil. Like, this is the chair. Now that I'm here, I see it. Like, what?
Well, what threw me off was the dragon smart enough to realize that, and it appeared that he was smart enough to realize that Jon Snow killed Dany. So why didn't he burn Jon Snow up?
Targaryen. At least that's what that was my take. Was
you just can't do it.
So the dragon's that smart.
I think so. I guess.
I think it would have made sense for the dragon not to be able to kill Jon, but I don't think it makes sense for the dragon to burn up the. If the dragon's allegiance is always to the Targaryen thing, and you know, so he's like a father of dragons, he can't be killed by a dragon, or at least not a dragon that's not inhabited by the Night King's wishes. Like, it was like the fifth time in the show Jon Snow has walked into a situation prepared to die for something with absolutely no idea what he's doing, no plan. He walked out into the above the wall to go see Mance Rayder, planning on killing him and sacrificing his life, and Stannis bailed him out. He jumped in front of the dragon that was about to shoot the blue fire and kill him in that one battle to sacrifice himself for absolutely no reason, like just because he was going to quit.
He's lucky.
Like, Jon Snow's just a little bitch. Like, that's just the way it is. He's always conflicted. He never knows what the right decision is. I mean, I'm serious. This is part of his character.
But it just works.
It's like,
that's why he doesn't ultimately sit on the throne.
His fake father, Ned Stark, like always knew it was right and always tried to do what was right. That was his flaw. He did up until right before they chopped his head off. Like, he actually, people forget that Ned Stark went back and tried to save himself and did relent and did completely, like, hypocritically cross over all his values at the last moment. So there was that. So Ned wasn't perfect either. But, like, that's Jon Snow's flaws. He has no freaking clue what to do in any situation.
Well, remember initially, though, an episode or two ago, he was the one saying, you know, don't worry about Dany. Like, she's going to be fine. She's my queen, blah, blah, blah. And then I think him seeing, you know, the city burn down, I don't know if it was him talking to her or if he just knew at that point, like, well, I guess maybe when she wasn't ready for wars to end, you know, you knew, like, she just... Okay, I have the throne, but now we have to go kill all these other people and start wars everywhere else. I think he was just over that. I think he realized that, again, you know, she's saying, let's break the wheel, and he's saying, you're just keeping it spinning by continuing war. Like,
But he's still not sure he made the right call even after he did it. I mean, he's still conflicted. Well, Tyrion's like, did I make the right decision? And Tyrion's like, ask me again in 10 years. Like, He says it feels like I made the wrong decision. I think he kind of knows he did. I'm trying to save the show here from itself, and I'm trying to say, I think the show's saying Jon made the wrong call. Like, as this thing keeps going, like, we all want Bran to be kind of perfect because he's the three-eyed raven and he should know the past and future. Doesn't it? If you think the show writers have any type of clue, aren't they kind of saying, hey, even Bran's going to screw this up? Like, the wheel just is going to keep spinning. The only chance for it to stop is if you let Daenerys purge the world. The Starks kind of even ruined it again through Jon Snow.
Maybe that's it. It just resets.
Then they can do spinoffs. I don't know.
Well, don't get me started.
We'll hit a break. We'll come back. No, I won't get started. Let's take a break and we'll start on the flip side again. I mean, there's just so much to get to here. Tweet us. At Fox Sports Knox, your thoughts. We'll read them on the air as well. Stick with us right here. It's hour three of Three and Out. Welcome back into the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville as we talk some Game of Thrones. Unreal. How it ended up last night. Like, I thought the next last episode was really well done. I thought the story there wasn't extremely complicated, but you did have the big moments. You had kind of a surprise death of Cersei that people hated, which I thought was kind of on brand for Game of Thrones to do something unexpected. But then they just didn't capitalize at all in the final episode. They had no idea what they were doing. Like, there's no logical. I said this last week. I'm fine with things happening differently than I would have done them, but you have to see the logic on, like, why some of this stuff works this way. And none of it made sense at all. I mean, none of it.
You mentioned spinoff shows?
Yeah.
So apparently HBO told the directors that they were willing to give them 10 episodes for this season. And the directors said, no, we've got too much other stuff coming up. We only want to use the 6.
What?
Yeah. So they had the option for 10 extended episodes and instead chose to tell the ending of the story in 6 rushed long episodes because it appears that the directors are now more worried and focused on the spinoff shows.
Well, I'm not watching the spinoff shows if they're in charge of it.
I don't like, I really, want to.
No.
Like,
in fact, I think, I don't know. I used to say I think this show might be the one show where I'll like never read the books because the show just seems better than the books. And it once it goes past it, like, what's the point? But I don't know. I may at some point in my lifetime, I don't know, maybe it's when I'm retired and have time, you know, just time to sit around and read really long things. Maybe I'll go back and just, especially if he never finishes them. If he just stops where it stops, I think I'll be happier to just read the books and just wherever it stops, it stops.
Well, a lot of people said that HBO and the show paid him to hold the books and that they've actually already been written. That they struck a deal, essentially. Like, he let them know how it was going to end or how he would let them end the show, but that the books are already done. I guess we'll have to wait and see on that one.
I don't know. I think the most likely scenario is he got extremely rich from the books he's already written, and he just lost all passion to continue writing. And, I mean, it took him forever to write even before he became rich, so...
But he's made a lot of money off the show, too.
Right.
And that's no work.
Yeah, I'm wondering if... Either A, this means he'll like never finish them, or B, is the reaction like so vile here that he will now write them?
Or does he and does he rewrite them now that the reaction was so bad?
Well, and I wonder if he's so, like you said, he's been paid all this money just as kind of a licensing thing for his story, right? If they were just like, if they were out of ideas, and so they said, hey, we're gonna end it this way. Is that cool with you? And he's like, sure. Like, he didn't want to get into it.
Maybe.
He just signed off on it, like, because he really doesn't care. And now that it's gone down, now his creative juices get flowing again, and he gets that passion again that you'd have to write books the way he does.
Mm.
This is a classic case of a guy being so twisted that he creates great art, right? I mean, we see it with musicians all the time. And,
yeah.
You know, like, the more twisted somebody is mentally sometimes, the better the art is.
Yes, the struggle, right? Like the conflict is what creates the beauty. I mean,
and no one can recreate it. Like it's like the show continued to be pretty good because it was still built on what he had written. But as soon as it passed the books,
you could tell a difference.
It started deteriorating, and the farther it got away, the worse it got.
Yeah,
they just had no one to write the show that was any good.
It just feels like there's a lot left untold. And maybe, I don't know, maybe that's part of the goal here, is that now, like, everyone else can kind of formulate these theories and do with the show what they want. Like, I've seen some people say that, like, Bran was the Night King the whole time, that he was kind of running things from his three-eyed raven position, ultimately to get the throne. And honestly, like, if that was the case, I kind of would like to know that. Instead of all these... Oh, no, well, what actually happened was this and this and this. Like, people are kind of having to fill in the gaps, and it feels like with good storytelling, certain things need to be made clear. And I just don't think they did a very good job of making really anything clear. Like you said, it didn't seem like they had a plan, but maybe, and maybe I'm giving them too much credit, but maybe the plan was to leave a lot of open doors so that people can kind of fill in what they want to fill in with how it ended.
Yeah, I'm cool with plot holes, especially in something this complicated, but you shouldn't
I'm
have...
cool with plot holes if there is a plot, and it felt like this season there really wasn't. I mean, I think that's like the most frustrating thing. Like, how did Arya get into position to kill the Night King? Did Bran run the entire show from his three-eyed raven position? Like, I don't know. I mean, all the stuff about the – again, it felt like we were supposed to remember all of these things about what the characters had done before, and then so many important aspects of all of these characters kind of just disappeared. Like, you were talking about it during the break. Like, Arya doing the face thing never came back after Walder Frey. That seems like a pretty significant thing that you could do. And people, myself included, thought, oh, maybe that's what she did to get into position to kill the Night King. Maybe she was wearing the face of a white... But we never knew. We don't see it. We don't know it. So now it's...
She almost died a couple times. Like, why aren't you using that to not die?
Right. That's what I'm saying. It's like, we know that certain people have... I don't want to say power, but ability to do extraordinary things. And then when it comes time to use these abilities, they just kind of don't. And it seems, I don't know, it seems lazy. It seems very, very odd. I can't figure out what story they were really trying to tell here. Because the ending is democracy. Like, that's what happens. Bran's on the throne, democracy.
Like, and we'll just decide every year who the king is.
Yeah.
Or every time they die. I can't remember. What did they say?
Every time they die. So I guess a lifetime spent on the throne, and then
when Bran dies, then you just pick. This is the dumbest thing ever. Like, okay. The next Daenerys, I'm going to ride in, I'm going to kill Bran, and then I'm just going to kill all those other people and take over.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
how does that bring stability? It's the dumbest thing ever.
That's what I'm saying. Like, nothing was finalized at all. Like, nothing changes, really. Like, there's... I don't...
Hell, Bronn could whip out his crossbow, kill everyone in the
reappearance of Bronn on the panel was also very odd.
And he's going to loan everybody the money to save King's...
He's the master of everything, pretty much.
Master of coin.
I don't know. All of it just felt... And there were untold stories that I guess you thought you'd get back. Who was the guy, the handsome guy that was protecting Dany? He and Jorah had a thing...
Yeah,
a battle.
Chilling in Marine.
Yeah, he's just off the show. You think you're going to get him back and there's going to be some type of...
At least Danny had a goal. Like, Bran's like, I don't want it. I don't want anything. I'm the memories.
Right, but then they asked him if he wants it and he's like, why do you think I came all this way? It's like, wait.
That made no sense.
Yeah, he's like, he just changes his mind all of a sudden. Or maybe him saying that was what needed to happen so that he could have it ultimately. I just don't know. I really don't. I mean, I'm with you. Visually, this was the best season. As far as, Dany walking up to give her speech and the dragon right behind her with the wind. Like, that was great. That was incredible. There was a lot of that. The battle at Winterfell when the dragons are in the sky and it's that distant shot and the moonlight over the clouds. I mean, unbelievable. When the Clegane Bowl and you've got the dragon flying behind and over them as they... face each other on the staircase. Visually, absolutely stunning. The story itself, though, really, really struggled down the stretch. It limped across the finish line. Which is... I think that's what's most disappointing, because those two things kind of went opposite, right? First season to last season. First season did not rely on CGI, did not rely on visuals. It relied on great storytelling, mm-hmm. good characters, great acting. And then by the end... it was the complete opposite. It was all visuals.
It was a terrible action movie.
That's the thing. I think that was what they did. As it got more popular, they realized we have to wow people who aren't really into the story, who just want to click it on and be wowed. Like, they really dumbed it down. Mm-hmm. And I think that to me is what makes it the most frustrating and disappointing, is you took something that required a certain level of intellect to enjoy, like a certain level of appreciation for the art that we're discussing earlier, and instead of seeing the art and the storytelling and the acting and the intelligence, they just made it an action movie. Things blow up. Look at how pretty this is. Look at this crazy shot. Look at this idea for this visual. Cool, huh? And it was great. It really was. But it's just so unfulfilling. It's not the story that they started to tell. And then it became, look at the pretty pictures. And I don't know. It really felt like they had something very special for 5-6 seasons, and then it became, this is really, really popular. We have all this money. What do? Make the visuals really cool. But then they still leave water bottles in the damn shot.
Yeah.
It's like, how do you do? It's like, it's really like no one cared. It's like, just get it over with.
Yeah.
That's the way this entire season and really a lot of last season felt. Just get it over with. Make it pretty. Get it over with. Well, what about this storyline and this story? No, we're not going back to that. Just put some fire there.
We'll come back with a little more. In my mind, it had a chance to be the greatest, or at least one of the greatest shows ever. And yeah,
and for five seasons, it probably was.
Probably even the last couple seasons, it just completely missed the mark and just choked in an incredibly bad way. Pretty much every episode this season. I mean, there were setup episodes that would have been fine if the payoff was good, but when it wasn't, like those setup episodes seem dumb now.
Yeah,
because
in the moment,
ever happened.
In the moment, you're disappointed, but you're thinking it'll be okay if it pays off. And now that it didn't, yeah, you look back on episodes 1 and 2 and just like, if you were rushing to get through it, why did you waste so much time?
Exactly. We'll come back. Final segment, 3 and Out. Stick with us right here on Fan Run Radio. Final segment this Monday edition of the program. Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, Billy Williford. Appreciate you joining us. If you missed any portion of the show, check out the podcast and subscribe on iTunes. That way you get them directly to your device. Hours 1 and 2. Talked a lot of Tennessee sports, even into hour 3 as well. Baseball teams on to Hoover for the SEC tournament. Looks like they're in great position to make the NCAA tournament. Softball won over the weekend at their regional they hosted, so they're on to the Supers. And basketball said goodbye to Grant Williams over the weekend. Looks like Jordan Bone performed so well, he's probably gone as well. He said he'd make his decision coming up on May the 29th, the final day, to pull out of the NBA draft, if that's what you want to do. Obviously, if he doesn't get drafted at all, he could still make the decision to come back. So that's kind of where we are with we talked football recruiting also. So that's where we are with kind of the Tennessee sports. We talked Game of Thrones. Last couple segments. Like, I don't get it. I'm even more mad now that you said they had more time for this season. I'm with you. I feel like the showrunners just fatigued out on this thing or something. I don't know. I was just looking at a blog post where Emilia Clarke, they talked about her getting the script, and when she read through what was going to happen to her character, like, she just couldn't handle it. She just went for a walk and, like, whatever, either barefoot or whatever shoes she was wearing, I don't know which, but said she came back with blisters on her feet. She just couldn't do it. And apparently Kit Harington, he's a guy that doesn't like to read the script before the table reading because he wants to just experience it in real time with the cast around him. And they flew to the table reading together. So she knows what's going to happen. He doesn't. And she said it drove her nuts. She's like, that's the way our friendship is. I can't even talk to him now. And I, you know, and then they get to the table reading, and apparently he started crying the first time he read it as he was looking at her, reading the scene. He just burst into tears. Jon Snow went from the bastard to the bitch, in my opinion. Like, that's it. Just, we thought he might be the savior. He wasn't. Here's another thing. What was the deal with the white horse? The white horse comes to get Arya, and then the next scene starts. There's no horse? Did she dream that? What the hell?
It was Bran.
Working to come get her?
See, like, shouldn't we know that? Like, that's what I'm saying. Like,
none of that makes
sense. Well, everyone kept saying, like, and behold, I saw a white horse, and the horse, a pale horse, and a horse, and the horse was death. Like, that old quote. I'm not even sure where it's from. And so you're thinking, okay, Arya, significant thing happening. Nope,
nothing. And what about our boy Hodor?
He died a long time ago.
The whole time travel thing, the whole, like, Bran knowing the path, like, just nothing. Bran just been chilling. Just
found out about Jon.
Bran just basically waited for Daenerys to go crazy and kill. Bran's as responsible for killing all the civilians as Dany is. He basically Cersei'd his way to the throne. Maybe that's the way R.R. Martin had it in his head. Well, that Bran was going to go evil, allow the Night King to wipe out half of Dany's army, allow Dany to knock out Cersei, and then let Jon, and maybe in R.R. Martin's version, It goes down like this, but it's Brand, Mastermind, Evil Genius.
Well, yeah, that's why I said that last segment. I don't know if you were paying attention. But they didn't tell that story.
Right.
It's left for us to try to piece it together. I guess, like, that's what I'm saying. Was that the goal, is that we now have to go and fill in the holes ourselves with whatever kind of you want to happen?
And it felt like they were trying to leave that open to interpretation.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
But they did a terrible job of letting you do it. Like, the Sopranos ending, like, that is a very ambiguous on purpose. It's very obvious. You can hate it if you want to, but at least it had a point. This felt ambiguous with no real reason. No point. No decision. No, like...
Yeah, it's almost like if that were open to interpret... Like, they should have given us more to lead us in that direction. Does that make sense? Because this is just people randomly saying, oh, Brand did it the whole time. Well, if there had been any hint of that, that would be...
Yeah,
an interest more interesting.
We
theory.
Need Inception with the top spinning. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like I need to. You need to leave people with a decision to make, because there's a bunch of dumbass people out there right now that don't know what to think at all.
I think maybe I'm one of those people. Other than it was stupid, but I don't know. Like, that's what am I supposed to pick a direction here?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, like am I supposed to, like, make that decision, or do I just take this at face value and walk away? And it'd be one thing if the show had been as smart as it started,
right,
for seasons 6, 7, and 8, and so you just felt like, oh, they got me. This did not feel like that. And if that's the case, then this was just a cop-out. Because they did not do a good job of leading you in the direction of, now what? What do you think happened? This was just like, everyone gets a happy ending. Arya sails. Sansa's a queen. Bran's a king. And Jon's back with Tormund. Which was awesome, by the way. And Ghost! We did at least get the Ghost John reunion.
I'm going with the theory that they screwed it all up. That this is just, the wheel continues, that Bran's a moron, and that, you know, the Starks are going to just keep being Starks and keep making mistakes, and we'll end up in the same, they'll end up broke or whatever. Just a bunch of flaws.
At least
humans.
Chernobyl's on tonight.
Thank God for that. Goodness. Woo! We'll come back tomorrow. Talk Sports is next. John Reed, Cody McClure. Keep it right here for more Fan Run Radio.